hate truth. The Word tells us, be lovers of the truth. God's Word is truth. Amen. His Word is truth. People don't like truth anymore because truth tells you that you're wrong a lot of times. And nobody wants to hear that they're wrong. We all want to say, I'm good, you're good. Don't talk about my stuff and I won't talk about your stuff. But let me tell you something. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. What does this verse mean? When one member of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. How many of you shed a tear this week over Charlie Kirk? How many of you can say that you felt a heaviness in the very pit of your gut, in your soul, and you were grieved over what has happened this week? That was our brother. I don't care if you agreed with him or not. That was our brother in Christ. And how dare anybody, saved or unsaved, I'm not even addressing saved and unsaved. I'm addressing humanity. But is it really right for humanity to be happy because somebody lost their life defending what they believed in? It's not. It's not. We can't be happy when something happens bad to our enemy. Kids, I know that there's people that you don't like, and I know that there's people that don't like you, and here's what I can say. As much as you can stomach it and as much as you can challenge yourself, you need to pray for people that are mean to you, that bully you, and you need to think really long and hard before you do that to somebody else, because there's a day that you will answer for every single thing that we have done unless we get it under the blood that forgives us for our stuff, and we all have our stuff. We all have things that we're doing, and we know that they're not right, and yet we continue to do them. We all have those things. But I challenge you, youth, today, make yourself not be happy when something happens to somebody that you don't like. Because it's not godly, it's not American, and it's just not what you should do. It's not right. I'm going to ask you to be a lover of humanity, a lover of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He died for the very people that spit on him. A week before they crucified him, they were all happy he was coming in the triumphal entry. And then by the end of the week, they were crucifying him till he was unrecognizable. So when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 36 through 38, and I want to explain something to everyone as a whole this morning. I do not believe in arguing. If you're one of these people and you think that you got to get on Facebook and argue with everybody all the time, stop doing that. Stop. The Bible tells us, do not argue over silly stuff. There are people that are set in your path, and all they are doing is they are set to cause confusion and controversy and trouble. And you don't have to argue with every barking dog that barks at you. But here's what else I can tell you. There are certain times, pivotal moments, and we had one Wednesday, September the 10th at 12:23. There are pivotal moments in your life where if you won't stand up for Jesus, he's going to be, if you're ashamed of him down here, he will be ashamed of you up there. And you have to decide, how do I want to live? How do I want to live? And you know, the Word of God says, kids, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. What does that really mean? That inside of him we can live. Inside of him we can move. And inside of him we can have our being. You can be everything that you were ever meant to be inside of him. But outside of him, we're nothing. And the faster that you can embrace who you are in Him, the more successful that you will be, the more powerful you will be, the more favored by Him that you will be. But you get to decide how you're going to live. And the Word of God says, now you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want curse? Do you want life or do you want death? And we have given our youth way too many choices. Well, if you want to decide to be a boy today, that's fine. That's not fine. It's not right. They're not even old enough to make that decision. Oh, I know I'm going to get so much hate mail over this. People are going to flood every DMs that I've got, all my everything. And you know what? You just keep the messages coming. If you're watching me on Facebook Live, I'm not even going to open them up because, see, I'm not an argumentative person. But what I am is a person of truth. And I will speak truth today because that's what every single pastor in the world should be doing. Charlie Kirk did not die in vain. He died for a purpose. He was anointed. I consider him a martyr. What is a martyr? Somebody that died for the sake of Christ. That's what it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You shouldn't be argumentative, but there are times where you need to stick up for God, and you have to stick up for what you believe. And a lot of times you're going to do that, and you're going to do it alone. You're going to do it alone. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something. Many years ago, when my children were little, I was in the medical field before I was in the ministry. And I have a very deep respect for doctors. I love doctors. But let me tell you something. The greatest doctor in my life is the great physician. Amen. Amen. And so what I can tell you is they're very well educated, but they don't know it all. And I love doctors, and I love the medical field, and I have nothing negative to say other than the fact is they're not God. So I was in the break room, and it was on a Wednesday night, and I said, oh, I got to hurry up and get out of here tonight. I've got to get me and my kids ready. We got to go to church. And one of the doctors said, that's the stupidest thing that you do to make your kids go to church on a weeknight. They're never going to remember that, and it's not going to make a difference in their life. And let me tell you what I said. Because here's the difference, and unless somebody teaches you how to live, and let me tell you, let me just make one little disclaimer here, my first disclaimer. I'm not going to make just one, but I'm going to make a lot. This is my first one. The best youth program that you will ever have does not take place in the church. It takes place in your home. Okay? It takes place around your table. It takes place in your family, in your living room. It takes place in your home. It takes place in your heart. It takes place in the conversations that you have with your children. Look here. I felt no need to argue with him. You know why? Because his comment isn't making me and it's not breaking me. Because either way, me and my kids, we were going to church and it didn't matter one hill of beans what he had to say about it. So I said, hey man, that's just your opinion, but for me and my house, we're going to be in church on Wednesday. I didn't feel a need to have an argument unnecessarily, okay? But now, here's what I can tell you. I will argue the points that I will make today that will be the hill that I would die on. And you have to choose. You have to choose how you're going to live and what you're going to live for. And you have to choose what you stand for. And I pray and my hope is that you stand for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 through 38. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. How do we live? We live by faith. We live by faith. We don't live off of what the news is telling us. We don't look off of what social media is telling us. We live by faith. Faith should be the standard platform of living for every believer. But my righteous one, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, that's talking about us. That's talking about y'all. That's talking about America. That's talking about every believer, no matter if they're a Democrat or a Republican. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. What does that mean? This is not the time to shrink back and be like, oh, I don't want to rock the boat, or I don't whatever. I'm not going to be looking for a fight, okay? But if somebody wants to debate certain things, I'm never going to stand for that. I've had people leave the church because I said the word homosexual behind this holy desk. And let me explain something to you. Grow up. Grow up. If you don't agree with that, that's okay. You don't have to agree with every single thing that somebody else says. I let the Word of God define my moral beliefs. And therefore, because I'm the pastor in this church, I preach those moral beliefs. And I have committed myself to stay close and tight to the Word of God. Do y'all see me up here giving a bunch of my opinions to you? No, you know that I don't do that. If it's not in the Word, I'm not going to preach it. But if it's in the Word, I'm going to preach it. So there's a difference. But it is not time to shrink back. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The first controversial topic that I'm going to mention today and that I'm going to address today is anxiety. And here's what I can tell you kids. How many of you children have felt anxiety come over your heart? Have we been anxious? If you have, lift your hand. If not, I'm really happy for you. I believe that every little child has got their hand up. Let me explain something to you. The Word of God says that there is nothing new under the sun. Anxiety is not new. Okay? The Word of God tells us what to do with it. Here's what I can tell you as your leader, as your pastor. I can tell you that I know what it's like to want to commit suicide. I've been there. I can tell you what it's like to be so depressed that you cannot get off the couch or even take a shower. I can tell you that because I've been there. And I can tell you that I know what a wave of anxiety feels like, where it wants to come in and cripple you and you feel like you can't. I can tell you what that feels like because I've also been there. And here's what I have built my life off of. Do it with the anxiety. Zane, if you're anxious about something, don't let it hold you back. If you're afraid, do it afraid. If God has called you to something, do it anxiously. If that's what it takes. Because here's what I can tell you, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every single knee is going to bow down. Every single one of them. Anxiety wants to come on you and cripple you. And here's what I can tell you. Anxiety was not sent from Christ. It was sent from Satan. And that's what he does to cripple people. And that's what he's doing with our youth. Trying to, we have a whole generation that won't get out of the house because they have anxiety. And let me tell you something. They're non-productive. How many of you kids, you want to be productive in your life? Raise your hand. This is not a spectator sport. Do we want to be productive? I sure to God hope you do. Because you know what? Pastor K ain't going to be happy if you decide to do nothing with your life. Because let me tell you something. God put you here to do something. He put you here to do something. He put you here to rock and roll. Every person I'm looking at on these rows are world changers. And I'm asking you to be that. And what it's going to take is you can't sit there and be like everybody else. You can't afford to be like everybody else. Everybody in the world is making excuses for why they're not doing something. And it's anxiety. I have anxiety. Let me tell you something. No. Nope. Am I belittling anxiety? Nope. You're talking to a very high anxiety person. How can I preach this? Because I live it. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I have never in my life let the anxiety slow me down. Can I just be very blunt? It is a load of crap. Okay? It's like getting a wheelbarrow and picking up all your anxiety, and it's all crap. And here's what I'm going to tell you on this, Bella. There's days where I pick up my wheelbarrow and I say, okay, crap, if you're going to give me anxiety today, I'm going to do all this stuff for God, and I'll do it with the anxiety. And here's what I know about God. The moment that I do what I'm supposed to do, that anxiety has to bow down. That anxiety has to go. It has to leave me. And it leaves me the moment that I do what I was supposed to do. The Word of God says, now give us this day our daily bread. God's got something for everybody to do every single day. And what he doesn't want to hear is, I'm too anxious to do it. Well, you know what he wants to hear? Lord, here I am, send me. God, here I am, send me. So I'm not buying the anxiety thing, and neither is God. Do you know that Jesus felt anxiety? You know how I know that? Because the Word of God says that he came down and he dwelled among us and he suffered. He became sin. He became everything, and he knew every emotion that we felt by the time he was crucified on the cross. Guess what he did? He did it anyways. He did it anyways. And you're not going to always feel like doing the right thing. You're not going to always feel empowered. You're not going to always feel motivated. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Stop living off of your feelings, because your feelings get you in trouble. Feelings aren't facts. We have an enemy. It's the devil. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I want to tell you, kids, if you don't hear nothing else that I say, I want you to know that God cares about you and he loves you. And he has an amazing plan for your life, and that plan is good and not evil. And he wants you to live in your full potential, in your full purpose. And you can't do that if you bow down to anxiety. What does he tell you to do with it? Cast it. How many of you kids have ever been fishing? Raise your hand. Have you been fishing? Do you know what casting is? You're going to cast that out there. Look here. When you cast the anxiety, you may have days where that's all you're doing is casting. Keep casting. That anxiety has to leave if you're doing what you're supposed to do. If the Word of God, see, the Word of God is true. So when you cast, it has to go. It can't stay. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. In another translation, it says, be sober and be vigilant. Now, here's what's not flying with me and what's not flying for God. And everybody else is buying this like it's hotcakes, but God isn't. As parents, we shouldn't. Self-control. You should never say out of your mouth, well, I just couldn't control myself, because here's the truth of the matter. You can control yourself. You can control yourself. And you have to. And you have to. Oh, I just can't control how I felt, so I just went out and shot somebody. That's wrong. Oh, I just couldn't control how I felt, so I just went and damaged their property. That's also wrong. We can control how we feel. We can make it bow down. And we have to, because the Word of God tells us, have self-control. Be sober and be vigilant. And then it tells you why. It tells you why. See, the Word of God doesn't tell you to do something and not give you a reason why. And you know why that is? Because God knows how we are as his children. Every time I tell my kids to do something, they want to know why. Guess what? I've got a reason. Guess what? God does too. So he says, be self-controlled and alert. Be sober and be vigilant. And then here's the why. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. What is the devil's plan for all of our life? He only has three things. They've been working since the beginning of time. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Word of God says, but now I have come that they would have life and that they would have it in abundance. Self-control. Self-control. The devil wants to cripple people with anxiety. Look here. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Do it with the anxiety. How many of you adults, you feel anxiety at times? I pray that it never slows you down. Because let me tell you something. The moment that you bow down to it, it's got you. Greater is he that is inside of me than he that's in the world. Do you know what? God is either who he says he is or he isn't. And I'm here to tell you he's exactly who he says he is. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. In a world where everything is changing, he will never change. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When you feel alone and the devil wants to come in and say, nobody loves you, just go ahead and kill yourself. Don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of truth that comes into your heart and says, you know what? I gave my son for you. I love you. You know how much teen suicide is going on in America today? Too much. Too much. Parents, we can do better. Not only can we do better, but we, by golly, we better do better. Something disturbing about Charlie Kirk's killer. You know what I found the most disturbing about this entire thing, other than the obvious, was that he took the time to etch on the bullets that he put in the gun little messages for Charlie. What does that tell you? That was premeditated. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You rule your heart. You tell your heart what it's going to be allowed to keep inside of there and what it's not. And here's what I can tell you. The person that killed Charlie Kirk was a coward. And the reason why he was a coward was because he, like everybody else, could have come to the open microphone and debated Charlie, but he didn't. He wrote what he said on the bullets to kill Charlie, and he didn't have the guts to say it to his face. And here's what I can tell you today. In a world where we want to type everything out or write everything out, there are some things that just need to be said. Because at any point in time, Tyler could have just said, Charlie, I don't agree with you. Point blank, that's it. I don't agree. But we can agree to disagree. He didn't do that. Here's what I can tell you guys. There will never be a better form of communication than the words that you speak out of your mouth. Yep. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says he spoke the world into existence. He said, if you tell this mountain to be removed and have just a little bit of faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you tell that mountain to get up in your life and to move over, it's moving. That's how powerful what you say is. So don't be a texting warrior. The problem is most of these children probably aren't doing that, and a lot of us adults, we are. Oh, I'm going to say it because I'm on Facebook and nobody can say nothing to my face. I'm going to say it. You know what? That's a terrible example to set for our children. If you've got something to say to somebody, go say it to their face. You know, most of my critics have never said anything to my face. No, actually, Billy, that's right. That is wrong. That is wrong. See, if you have a problem with somebody, you should have the guts to say it to their face. Because let me explain something to you. When you're able to talk about something that bothered you, that's the only way things get resolved. And our world doesn't know how to communicate anymore. You go out to eat at a restaurant. How many of you have seen this? You go out to eat at a restaurant, and there's a family sitting down, and every one of those family members, they're all on their phone. And what used to be family time is phone time. Everybody's texting each other. Now, I'm not going to pry up into your business, but what I am is pointing out truth. Kids, if you got something to say to somebody, don't be a coward. Say it to their face. Nothing is worth taking human life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's wrong every time. Every time. See, humanity should not play God. Only God has the right to take human life. He gives life and he takes life, and only God should be able to make that decision. Amen. Don't ever put yourself in the place of God. Communication is key. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I haven't even gotten into the meat of this message. But just so everybody knows, we always get out of here at 12 o'clock. If you're watching that clock, it is 11:35. Yes. That's right. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 6 through 7. How many of you are a parent or a grandparent in this room? I want you to raise your hand. This is for you. Because, see, I'm not going to just address the children in here, because the biggest majority of what is going wrong inside of America's children is the parents. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. The biggest part of what is going wrong in the American child today, it is not the child, but it is, in fact, something dumb that their parents are doing with them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God, because I feel like you were all on the same page with that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And let me tell you something, parent and grandparent. The word of God should be on your heart. The requirements of God should be written on your heart. And you should teach your children right from wrong. It's not the school's sole responsibility to do that for your children. It's not the sole responsibility of the church or the pastor. That is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. And I'm going to show you where. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7 is instruction. Impress them on your children. Impress them. Make an imprint on your kids. Make an imprint on your children. See, if your children grow up and they have no moral imprint, that is not their fault. That is your fault. Everybody's got to step up. There should be a moral, spiritual impression that your child has on them. And the Word of God tells us to do that. Impress them on your children, and then it tells us how to do it. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Here's some problem with today's average modern parent. We are not talking to our children enough or at all. We are not talking to y'all, and we should be. And parents, we have got to have those hard conversations, because I promise you this, the world is. How many of you parents have had to Google something online just because you didn't know what your kid was saying? I'm like, okay, what does snatched mean? Hey, apparently that was a compliment, and it was given to me, and I snatched that compliment right on up. But I had to look what it meant first. But it says to impress them on your children. Your children should hear from you why you do everything that you do. When you go to church, your children should be told, this is why we go. This is what we do. When you release your tithe, you should explain that to them. When you pray around the dinner table, you should explain that to them. Everything that you do that's of importance, you should be explaining that to your kids. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to pervert whatever, and they're going to explain to that in a way that you're not going to be happy with. But children are taught. And they're supposed to be trained. They're in training years. They're not in making choices years. They're in training. And it's our job to train them. It's our job to train them. And we have to do that with conversations. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. The Word of God says, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I grew up on this verse. My dad would start it off, and I could finish it, Hannah, by the time I was about 4 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you what. There was a lot of things that I judged my parents for because I didn't have kids and I thought that I knew everything. And let me tell you what, when I had my own kids, I realized I didn't know jack diddly squat. And I sit at my room sometimes and cry my eyeballs out because I feel like a big fat failure half the time. And I think, how did they do it? How did they do it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You need to have integrity when you're raising your children because you got one shot at it and that's it. That's it. You ain't getting no do-overs. I'm asking you to love your kids and love your grandchildren enough that you put God inside of them. Talk about everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your children are not old enough to decide if they go to church or not. And I want you to look at me. I'm behind the pulpit, and I'm going to say this from the pulpit, and I'm going to repeat myself. If your children are living under your roof, and you are feeding them, and you are sheltering them, and you are clothing them, you have the right, and you should, make them be in church with you. And if you don't, you will regret that. And if you don't, you will live to wish that you did. Because you will not have anything to stand on if you don't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A lot of times we're saying, what is the right thing for me to do? And I can tell you one thing, to obey your parents is the right thing to do. The Word tells you, obey, obey, obey. Not when you feel like it, not when they're telling you what you don't want to hear. How many of you can tell... Your parents make you mad sometimes, right? We're all voting? Yeah, see, we're voting. Because church is not a spectator sport. Church is something you get involved in. You know what? My parents made me mad too. And you know what I had to do? Get on over it. because I was raised by godly parents. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. I'm going to tell you something. God cannot bless a disobedient child. Parents, if you really love your kids, how many of you love your kids? You got a kid over here and you love them more than you love anything besides God. Let me tell you, I do. You really love them, you make them obey you because you're not helping them when you don't. Verse 2, this is what I think every kid has a problem with for the most part. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. And there's some times where I see kids and their parents has asked them to do something. And just because their parent has asked them to do it, they won't do it. And I'm going to tell you something. That is sin. That is wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. And in fact, God's going to tell you why. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. God's not giving you advice and saying, honor your mom and dad. He's giving you a commandment. And it is the first commandment that is attached with a promise. And the promise is this right here. That it may go well with them. How many of you kids, you want to grow up and you want to have a sucky life? I'm so glad you didn't vote for that option. How many of you would like to have a good, successful life? I have just read to you how to do that. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Long life. Honor your father and mother. Honor them. You don't have to understand every single thing of why they tell you to do something. Sophie, there's times where I don't have time to tell Carson and Colton the why I want them to do something. I need them to trust me enough as their mother that I'm not going to steer them wrong. And there's times where there's not time to tell them. They just are going to have to listen. I'm going to ask you to be kids of honor. Of honor. Because here's what I can tell you. The devil would love for you to be rebellious and to be dishonoring to your parents. Why? Because when you do, it won't go well with you. It gives the devil an open door to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. You have to decide what you want the devil to be able to do in your life. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 4, this is for the parents, and specifically fathers, but I believe it's for parents in general. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Look here, if you're too hard on your kids and you're always mean and you never have anything good to say, that's not godly. You can't always have something of correction to say. It can't always be they did something wrong. You have got to praise them as much as you come down on them. Because if you don't, you're going to break their spirit and they're going to have a bad self-image of themselves. And you don't want your kid broken down feeling bad about everything that they are. Your job as a parent is to lift them up and to build them. The Word tells you, don't provoke them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. But bring them up, and then it tells us how to do it. Tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We all have choices. We have given our kids too many choices. I touched on that earlier. And kids, here's what I'm going to tell you. The choices are very simple because when you get an adult, really it all boils down to these few choices. Blessing or curse, life or death. You should not be allowed to say, I want to be a boy today if you're a girl. Yep. You think every pastor in the county is saying this stuff? Nope. Guess what? I'm not every pastor. God's called me here for a purpose, and I'm going to live it out. And I said, we are bad parents if we allow our kids to say, oh, just one day I just wake up and I've decided I'm going to be a boy today. No. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Who's with me in here? It's wrong. It's wrong to do that. It's wrong. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 27. For everybody that's coming tonight, I'm not preaching about this. Why am I preaching about it today? Because the world has already preached our kids about it. That's why. I'm actually behind the ball game. I'm going to get caught up. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth. See, you're supposed to be ruling over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. But I'm going to go back to that first point. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Kimber, what does that mean? Who do you look like? So my children, they resemble me. Why? Because there's a blood connection. God said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he said, let us make man in our image. We look like God. Our form, our head, our arms, our legs, we were made in his image, okay? And because we were made in his image, you don't get to choose if you want to be a cat. Okay? Because cats are gross, and they lick themselves, and they poop in the same box. And if that's what you want to be, then you need to start licking yourself, and you need to go poop in a box and see how long you want to do that. Now, I know I've probably just offended every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I ain't finished yet. I just tell you, I'm going to have so much hate mail, I won't be able to check it all. You're not a cat. Cortland, we're not cats. We're not cats. You're not a dog. You're not any other form. And you don't get to just wake up and decide that you want to identify as one. You are made in his image. And that is what you are. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm going to take it one step further. I'm going to ask you to love yourself. Girls, if you're looking at the mirror and you're looking at every imperfection, you're not going to love yourself, and I'm going to ask you to not do that. Because true beauty, it comes up in here, in the very middle of your heart. But we have confused our children, and we have allowed them to think that they can just be whatever they come up with, and that's not right. And if you've done that in this room, you need to correct it. If you've done it on the TV and you're mad as fire at me right now, you need to correct it. Don't watch my Facebook if you don't want to hear it. That's all I can tell you. Don't watch me. You don't have to. This is America, and you don't have to listen to me. You don't even have to have the same opinion. But if you're going to be up on my channel, this is what you're going to hear. Because, no, our kids aren't cats. They're the redeemed of God, and that's what we should be telling them. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to finish this up. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So not only are you not a cat or you're a dog, but if you were born a girl, you are a girl. If you were born a boy, you are a boy. Let me ask everybody in the place, and we're all participating. Does anybody in this room think that God makes a mistake? Is he capable of making a mistake? No, he isn't. What does that tell us, kids? God did not make a mistake when he made you a girl and when he made you a boy. That was determined before the world ever began. It was determined that you were going to be who you are, that you would be Zane Hilton, that you would be a male. And you don't get to decide one day, oh, I just want to wake up and be a girl. Let me tell you something. Girls are great, but you're not one of them.
Yep.
I know. Everybody, I get it. This is the same stuff Charlie Kirk has been saying ever since he could. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 23 and 24. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Verse 24 is the next point that I'm going to make. For this reason, see, there was a reason. God right here is defining marriage. He is giving us a definition of what it is and what it is not. For this reason, a man, everybody say man, will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Everybody say wife. And they will become one flesh. This is not the only Bible verse that God defines what marriage is, but children, in a world where we're trying to shove everything down your throat and there's a bunch of Disney cartoons that's wanting to tell you everything other than what the Word of God is, marriage that God defined holy matrimony only is holy matrimony if it takes place between a man and a woman. That is it. That is it. That is it. And if you don't like that, you don't need to come to church here. Sophie, there's going to be times in your life with your calling you are going to have to tell it like it is, because God won't need you anymore if you can't. I'm uncomfortable today, but let me tell you something. I'm going to do this like God sent me up here to do it. Because guess what? He did. He did. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. And yes, I'm going to wrap it up. Everybody that's answering, you're hating every minute of it. I'm almost done. Haven't you read? He replied that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Once again, marriage is between a man and a woman. And here is what I'm going to tell you. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Children, I want you to all look at me. I should have however many sets of eyes on me. You are looking at a divorced person. And what I can tell you is this right here. That divorce broke every part of everything that I was. If there was one thing that I would say, don't do, what would it be? Don't get married before you know it is the right person. Let God join you together. If you want to avoid a whole lot of heartache, let God join you together. Because out of everything, and I'm a strong person, but out of everything that almost just took me down and made me quit life, it was divorce. It is the hardest thing I have ever been through. I'm asking you to avoid it. How many people in here with your hands held high, you can say, I've been through divorce? Children, I want you to look around you. I want every kid looking with their head because I want you to see this. Every adult, would it have been better to marry the right person the first time? Would you love to save our children some heartache? Children, I can't make your choices for you, but I can at least tell you. John 14 and 15. What does God require of us? What does God really want from believers? That can be found in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, if you love me, if you love God, how many of you kids, you say, I love God. There's a love that I have for God. Are we voting today? Okay. Parents, we have children that love God. Follow that through. If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. What does that mean, kids? If you love God, you'll do what God has told you to do in His Word. What He's told you to do in His Word. Charlie Kirk's killer was a 22-year-old man named Tyler Robinson. He was 22, and he could not handle someone having a different opinion than him. In a world where we're mad, hold on, Spirit. In a world where we're mad when people don't agree with us, here's what I would say. Get over it. Yeah. Not everybody's going to agree with everything that you say or think, and that's okay. That doesn't mean take their life. But here's what he was upset about. Tyler Robinson was 22 years old. And he was romantically involved with a transgender male. Yeah. And when Charlie Kirk continually, time after time, spoke the word of God, Tyler Robinson could not handle it. There's times where being a lover of truth and a lover of God's word could cost you your life. Here's what I can tell you. I would rather die standing up for Jesus than live the way that the world and the devil wants you to. There's times where you have to choose. I had a choice today. The world changed forever on Wednesday. A person like Charlie Kirk is not martyred and nothing happened after that. Let me tell you something. Every Tyler Robinson on the planet is going to regret that Charlie Kirk was murdered. Yeah. Because there's something that's rising up, and it's every God-fearing, God-loving American that loves God and that will stand up for the truth. If they would have known, see, if every demon in hell would have known what crucifying Christ would have actually done, they would have never done it because it has unleashed something that's never going to be bottled up. What is it? Truth. Truth. Last place for me this morning, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. This morning I asked two people that I love and that I trust very much, and I said, should I air on live today? And the response was this: what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Kids, I ask you, what would Jesus do when you're making the hard choices and you're being pressured to do something that Jesus wouldn't do? I want you to ask yourself, what would my Jesus do? God bless America. God bless Charlie Kirk. God bless Erica Kirk. And God bless each and every single one of you. God bless Turning Point USA. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word, because, God, your word is truth. God, I ask you right now that you would cause us to be lovers of truth. Father, for every single person that has heard the message today, I don't know how they've heard it. I don't know if they were in this building or if they were watching on any part of our platform. But, God, let conviction fall on humanity. In Jesus' precious, holy name, amen.